Amen. Amen. Lord, we just so thank you this morning and so excited to look into your word. And we thank you for your word, Lord, that just reveals your truth to us and that we can have confidence in you. And so I pray just each heart would be open to receive what you have to say. And that, Lord, you just anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak only things of the Spirit that would be honoring to you. So we give this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The turn, if you will, and we'll be starting in here in Hebrews, looking at Hebrews again. And the title to the message is The Deity of Christ. The Deity of Christ. So you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. That we'll be starting there. The Deity of Christ. And it says this: But of the Son, Jesus, God says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, what's interesting here, and I need to, I think we need to have context. You can look at this book and read through it, and it speaks to you. It's, you don't have to have any background or anything. It just speaks to you. But I think if we put it a little bit in context, we see the dynamic of what's actually happening in this book, and it kind of gives us a deeper understanding and view of what's going on. So what we have here is the book of Hebrews specifically is written to the Jewish people. Okay, it's the Jewish believers or the ones that are interested, in Christ, but they're Jewish. It's written to the Jewish population. Now it's to us. We get all sorts of things, but understand it was written to the Jews. Now, what we know about the Jews, when they're reading this, when the Jews are reading this, okay, they have an Old Testament background. They know the Old Testament. It's not new to them. These are the Jews that are holding on to the Old Testament. They have an Old Testament background. That means they're looking for the Messiah. All the Jews with the Old Testament background, they're looking for a Messiah at this time. Now, what's also interesting, these Jews would also be very aware of Jesus. They knew he was there. They knew he was alive. There wasn't any question there. In fact, probably some of these Jews actually observed or met him. Okay, it's very possible that some of these Jews actually saw him. So you see the context. That's what's written. He said, okay, you Jews with all this background, let me clarify who he is. So that's where this is coming from. And it just hits right here. Okay, you Jews, I'm going to clarify who Jesus is. And he opens up with this verse. Now, he doesn't open up with it, but this is part of his explanation of who Jesus is. Now, I want you to notice something, okay? It's an Old Testament verse. Notice here, God, really important, God just called Jesus God. Okay? So you got the Jews here, and he's here, what do you have to say? He quotes an Old Testament verse, and God calls Jesus God. Now, that would cause a stir. And it's what it says when you read it like that, it says, God says to the Son, Jesus, says to Jesus, your throne is forever. Jesus, God, your throne is forever. Now, the Son is not simply the representative of God. He is God. He is God. And that's what this verse says. And the people who really understood what he was saying were the Jews. They knew full well what this was saying. Okay, now we hear, well, what does it mean? And I don't know. The Jews didn't do that. They knew that's what was being said here. Now, this is a direct quote. This is a direct quote from Psalms 45:6. Direct quote. This is this verse. Direct quote from Psalm 45:6, which says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. All right? What this psalm is doing, when you read this psalm, it's a psalm praising a king and then identifying this king in the Old Testament, identifying this king as the Jewish Messiah, which now, later in the New Testament, they identify him as Jesus. So you see the process. Well, here's the Messiah. The Jews know that. They quote it. And he says, this is Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. Uses this Old Testament. And so the magnitude of what's happening here is fascinating to the Jewish people. Now, this is very similar to Psalms 110, verse 1. And we'll turn there. And very similar to Psalms 110:1, which is also quoted later in Hebrews. Quotes this same verse in Hebrews 1:13. And Psalms 110:1 reads this: "The Lord says to my Lord." Now, pay attention to every word. The Lord said to who? My Lord. Now, didn't say, hey, my the Lord said to Joe. No, that's not what he said. The Lord said, the Lord says to my Lord. And we know it's Jesus. The Lord said to Jesus in Psalms 110, sit at my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to Jesus, sit at my right hand. That's what Psalms 110:1 says. Now again, we can go, it's Gentiles and, you know, new believers, and go, wow, that's neat, kind of interesting, and like that. That's not what happened to the Jews. The Jews knew exactly what was being said. It's like, oh man, boy, this sheds a different light on everything. It's like a make or break right here. It's a make or break for these Jewish people. It wasn't taken, well, we'll think about that. That's cute. No, it's make or break. It's make or break for the Jewish people. Now, so what we see with this Psalms 110:1 is this psalm was written by King David. It shows God speaking to the Messiah, which the New Testament also identifies in Jesus. All the Old Testament will say he's talking to the Messiah. Then the New Testament says he's talking to Jesus. You see what's happening here? So, again, I know I'm, you know, just going over it too much here. But when we look at, well, that's good. We'll look it up. That's interesting. Well, I wonder how you get there from here. Okay, and which is fine as we look. That's not what happened to the Jews. It was make or break for them. They knew it's this way or that way. I can't go there, so I'm staying here, which the majority of them did. Are like, if this is truth, then I got to go here. And everything changes. See, huge. These two verses are really huge. I hear people say, well, how do you tell me about the deity of Christ? And I'm sure someone who wants to say that, well, let me try to explain to you the deity of Christ and get your head around it. But if you ever talk to somebody who says, well, explain to me the deity of Christ, you say, you know, I don't have time. Just read Hebrews chapter 1. It's all there. Okay, just put it on them. Okay, let them struggle with it, because it's all about the deity of Christ. See, so we have this, and we're going, gosh. Well, not only that, in Psalms, this 110 verse 1, in Matthew 22, Jesus quotes this verse. So here you got Jesus. What's it in Matthew 20? He quotes it. He quotes this verse to identify himself as Messiah. So here Jesus stepped out and said, you know this verse? That's me. What you can you see if you're a Jewish population? Whoa, buddy. You know, there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. And to accept this, you're kind of like the whole population of who you know and your family and everybody else. You're stepping out for Jesus. I mean, this is a huge verse, okay, for the Jewish people. We think it's neat. It was huge to the Jewish people. See, so in Matthew 27, Jesus quotes it to identify himself as the Messiah. And so based on the New Testament interpretation, this is God saying to Jesus, based on the New Testament and what Jesus says, God is saying to Jesus, Jesus, sit at my right hand. Whoa. I mean, whoa. And that's what the Jews were saying. Like, whoa. We can't have both here. Something's happening, you know. And it's like, so it's hard to get their arms around. Now, look at this, and this is important. Hebrews uses the Old Testament to prove to the Jews that Jesus was God. That's the purpose of it, all right? Well, it's got this, this, and this, and this, and we're going to look at it. We're going to have lots of fun just looking at all the stuff. But the main purpose is that Jesus was God. And I'm going to give you 13 chapters to prove it. And we're going to have a lot of fun going through all 13 chapters, okay? Now, so again, it helps us to understand when we read it what is going on, the depth of it. Now, so in this same section, y'all with me, good? Okay, the magnitude. In this same section, to continue this confirmation, the Hebrews, in this chapter 1, the Hebrews addresses Jesus' involvement in the beginning of creation and the end of creation. See, I mean, it's just like, I'm coming at you, and you go, well, man. And then he just comes at you again, and you go, man. And you're going, holy cow. Everything about the Messiah, it's Jesus. Is it really? Well, how does he do this? How does he immediately put Jesus in creation and the end, and in the end of creation? How does it do this? See, to do this, Hebrews quotes Psalm 102:25-27. You can say, well, Jesus told me this, Jesus told me that, and I had a word from Jesus. No, what the Jews did, they said, you want to know who Jesus is? Let me quote you some scripture. I'll tell you who. Let me quote you the Old Testament, and you'll know who Jesus is. So that's what they do. This is what he does. Shows Jesus at the beginning of creation, at the end of creation. And he quotes Psalm 102:25-27. Now, when you read that psalm in the Old Testament without the new, the psalm clearly applies to God. Every Jew would say it. Applies to God. Everybody in the New Testament said it applies to God, okay? In Hebrews, however, these verses are applied to Jesus. Do you see what's happening here? It's like, Jews, that's God. And a believer that just knows, yep, that's God. And go, nah, it's not, it's Jesus. It's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, this is more than I'm kind of get my arms around. I mean, I'm going to have to make some drastic changes in my life if I believe this. You see what's happening? You see what's happening here. Well, and the proof is it's in your scriptures. You ought to pay attention. It's your book. You ought to pay attention to your book. And so when we see this, that these verses in Psalms 102:25-27, Hebrews, they are talking about Jesus. Jesus was God's agent in creation and the one who one day will destroy creation. Well, now, gosh, it got heavy on us right there, didn't it? You know, Lord. Now, again, we're going here and we're thinking, oh, this is cool, you know. These Hebrews are really having, it's like, do you realize, can we realize the life change that they're going to have to make? They come home, hey, Mom, guess what I found out? Hush, don't you talk to me like that. Did I raise you up like that? Don't tell me anything about this. Jesus, you see, I spent my life holding on to God in the scriptures. He goes, yeah, now we have the fulfill. Whoa. And I'm just, you point out what's happening. Do you see what's happening? You see what's happening here. Okay, so let's read Hebrews chapter 1. I don't have an overhead, but Hebrews chapter 1, 10 through 12, which is an exact quotation from Psalm 102, 25 through 27. Same thing. But I'm going to stick Jesus' name in there because that's what Hebrews does. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. You, Jesus, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands, Jesus. And they will perish, but you, Jesus, will remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed. But you, Jesus, are the same, and your years have no end. Their world just changed. Everything. This is in one chapter, you know. And he's walking, hey, guys, get ready for the other 12. But this is who we're talking about. This is who we're talking about. The deity of Christ. And again, the people who knew this were the Jews. They had no great, they knew this was what's being addressed here. Now, so we go, wow, that's interesting. Now let's jump. We have Psalm here. We have Hebrews here. Now let's jump to Revelation, which confirms Psalms and Hebrews. Now I have an overhead for this one. You just got to read it. Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. You know, there's an end. There's an end. There's a time of reckoning. You know, I always, this is Wallace talking, interjecting myself into things I shouldn't interject myself into. But listen, I just want to tell you, for me, I don't worry about the end of the world. You know, I don't worry about, you know, cooling or heating of the earth. I don't worry about it. I mean, all the scientists say, they know. They think we came from monkeys. Who? What do they know? Now, this is Wallace talking, y'all. You know, and what I do know is the Bible says there will be summer, winter, and spring, harvest, and winter till the end of times. That's good enough for me. You know, I'm not going to get into your environmental program. I'm not going to do it. I don't. Y'all have it. Have fun. Okay? You see what I'm saying? And the reason I'm saying this, because when you look at the scriptures and what it says, then you start standing on the scripture. And the stuff that happens around you, you don't let it bother you. I have to. Okay, I'm just stepping over. But I'm just. Okay. I knew. I knew. Do you remember when they told you not to use plastic straws? Do you remember? It's all over the news. Like they were straw nuts. I go up, they wouldn't give me a straw over my Coke. I said, I want a straw, you know? And it's like, no, why? Well, they're on the news. We're going to ruin the environment. And everybody, they just quit giving you straws, right? Why? Why? The whole world stopped using. Why? You know, I don't believe what person, I didn't want to say idiot, what person said this? And then what's even crazier, everybody believed it. You don't think, well, we're in a solid and intellectual world that can figure things out. No, they can't even get their straws straight. I'm telling you, they can't even figure out whether to use a straw or not. And you're going to trust these people to tell you something? The earth's going to burn up. Not happening. Well, it is happening when Jesus comes back. They say, you believe the earth's going to burn up? Yep. Burn up. It got it. You know, here. But the process, and then what drives me crazy is these little old kids, they come and you show them, they're scared to go to school, and anytime the world may burn up and stuff. And little bitty kids, they just work. You know, that's child abuse. That's just total child abuse. And what do you say to your little child that comes up there and you put them, honey, it's not going to burn up. I'm going to tell you, these people are idiots. They're just nuts. They won't let you use a straw. I mean, put it in perspective. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. Now, do you know why this went away? Now, this really should upset people about the population. The reason it went away is because the people are, quote, scientists about the environment and truly know what they're doing. They're looking into it, okay? I don't believe them either. But the ones look at, you know what? They said, this is silly about straws. Straws will not make any impact whether you use straws or not. Okay, we can use straws now. Well, they were the idiots that told you not to use them. And then you go, oh my goodness, it's okay to use straws. Okay, all I'm doing is making a point. What, like you say, what is your point? Is that if you look at the scripture and understand what it says, you don't go there. You don't go there. You just say, you can't use a straw. He's like, oh, here we go again. Fine. Just go out with somebody they don't want to use. Okay, that's fine. Don't use a straw. God bless you. Give me a straw. Okay. I won't pollute the environment. I'll put it in my pocket and take it home. And then I'll throw it in my trash can. You'll never know. Do you see what's happening? But I know I'm being silly about this, but this is how the world operates. This is exactly how the world operates. And do you know what the Bible says? They don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge. And do you know what the Bible says the beginning of knowledge is? Fear of God. That's the beginning of knowledge. They don't fear God. They don't have knowledge because they don't fear God. Do you know what the beginning of wisdom is? Fear God. Right? They don't have a fear of God, so they don't have wisdom. See? I mean, it's really simple. So what the whole thing is, you can read the scriptures here, and then you can be at peace, and you're not jerked every different direction. You just have peace. Okay, they're just going through this again. That's fine. I'm not going to scare my kids to death. You know, hey, just let's go on. All right. So here it is. So what does God say about creation? This creation will wear out like our clothes. These old clothes will be changed for new clothes. The only thing that doesn't change is Jesus. That's what he's telling you. Thus, we should pay attention. All right? Now, so back up. So you have this information. Okay. Well, that's cool. Wow, that's neat. And we go on and go to the store and do whatever we want to. But if this is true about Jesus, then we need to pay attention. The Jews knew this. They knew what was being said here. We need to pay attention. Therefore, look what the verse that follows says. Here's this, the truth about the deity of Christ and who he is and my silliness. Okay. But look what the next verse is. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore. Do you know what the therefore is there for? The therefore is there for because of what I just said. Listen, because of what I just said. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Notice what word he used. He used drift. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So the big word is therefore we should pay attention. Therefore we should pay attention now to what? I'm playing with you. Therefore we should pay attention to what? Jesus. That's what I say. Therefore you need to pay attention to Jesus. All right. Information, revelations, visions, insight are worthless unless we take it to heart. I had this vision. You had done anything with it? It didn't make any difference. See, you have to take it to heart. You have to take it to your heart. And again, it's a vision about, a lot of people come up to me with their visions, and I think, yeah, God bless you. You know, I think, you know, you're kind and everything. It's not my vision, and I don't know if it's God's vision, but that's not for me to say, you know. But when God speaks to you, vision like our salvation, understanding of that, a vision, information, insights, they're only worth something if we take them to heart. We need to lock in, don't quit, ride this out for the long haul. Why? Because of Jesus. You just lock in. This may surprise you. There's a bunch of stuff I don't understand. Yeah. I know that didn't surprise you. But I don't. But I have one thing, and I'll say this, and Linda, you know, and before the Lord, I just say, I don't know, but I know Jesus, I'm just going to lock in. I'm just going to lock in. And so I do. I say, he'll do something. He'll take care of this. I'm just locking in. And then in anticipation, have my eyes open, like, you know, he's going to do something. I won't pay attention. See, you just lock in and persevere. But lock in and persevere over nothing or on something, whatever. No, you lock in on Jesus and you persevere. See? But to lock in on Jesus, you have to have an experience with Jesus to lock in. So, and that's what this verse is saying here. We need, it says, Jesus is the reason we persevere. Jesus is the reason we persevere. Whatever thing you have in your mind why you persevere, that's number two. It's number two. The first reason you persevere is Jesus. Jesus, you persevere. Now, with that, it's very interesting what verse comes after this. I mean, fascinating. The verse that comes after this is interesting. You know, don't drift. Focus on Jesus. The reason we persevere is Jesus. See, disaster is threatened to all that neglect Jesus. So listen closely to Hebrews 2:3. I don't have an overhead, but just listen closely to this first word. He's told us that. Now, therefore, you know, pay attention lest you drift away. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now, I want you to pay attention to what's said there. Neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? What's interesting, what it doesn't say, oh, you got to be careful. Now that you introduce this, you better not sin. You better do this. You better not do that. You better do this. And you get to all these rules. You better homeschool your kids, and you better do this. You can't visit this, and you need to do this. If you stump your toe and say a cuss word, you better not do that. Is that what it's saying? Is this what it's saying? You better be good. You got all this. You better be good. It doesn't say that. Nor does it say it later on. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect Jesus? That's the issue. Neglecting Jesus. Our problem is we tell people so many stuff to do that takes their eyes off Jesus to do the to-do list. You see what I'm saying? It's a to-do list. Okay? And we've already discussed that. The Bible calls that death. Death. The to-do list is death. The issue is don't neglect Jesus. What was the message to the Jews? It's going to be tough, guys. Don't neglect Jesus. And if you don't neglect Jesus, do you know what happens if you don't neglect Jesus? Okay, I got to pay attention to Jesus now. I'm not going to neglect. You know what happens? Things change. What did you do different? I just didn't neglect Jesus. You know, come to salvation, we have nothing to offer, right? And if we offer something, we don't have salvation, right? And as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. That's what Colossians says. So as you walk in Jesus, if you have something to offer, you can't walk. It's only when you have nothing to offer that you can walk. Does this change the mindset of the church? I mean, it is so. And God bless the Jews. They had a bunch of good rules. I mean, their rules, there's good rules. They said, you know, I've read someplace they had over 600 commandments, you know, besides the 10. See, but they didn't cut it. And then we'll read on where Jesus says, where Jesus will say, I'm the fulfillment of the law. Oh, you mean you just don't neglect you and you get there from here? Yeah. Salvation and your walk. Because when you do that, Jesus moves and He changes you. He changes you. Rules don't change you. Jesus changes you. Okay, so here we are. We need to pay attention and persevere. So I'm going to read this again. Pay attention to the word neglect. It doesn't say, you know, don't sin. It says don't neglect Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And we all agree, that's Jesus, all right? This was, and this is how we know. This is how we know this is true. This is how we know this is true. He tells us here. This was declared first by the Lord. Oh, Jesus told us. That was the first person. Then it was attested to us by those who heard. All the apostles, all the disciples said it, wrote the scriptures. So we got them. We got their lives, that they all went to their death believing it. And we have their words, so they attested. While God bore witness by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. I mean, these kind of guys were, you know, I mean, they were making an impression. Because God was using them and using them as a witness of signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed by His will. That's how we know. That's how we know. See, we shouldn't neglect Jesus. We have a witness from angels, from Jesus Himself, from His disciples who saw Him, and God also bore witness by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Amen? Now, it's not written here, but I just want to interject something. It says distributed according to His will. He distributed to the Holy Spirit, distributed according to His will. You know where else it says that? Corinthians. In fact, it says two or three places. And who's He talking about? He distributed the gifts of the Holy Spirit by His will. Same like these guys. And this is a shocker. He's talking about us. He didn't quit. Brethren, say He didn't quit. And that's how you know. That's how we know not to neglect Jesus, because He didn't quit. He didn't quit. So, hallelujah. In fact, I just want to, not only there, you know, some church believing, God bless them, love Jesus, say all these gifts and things ended in the first century. I just want to share something with you. Just share it. Do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. That's not rhetorical. I know you, but say amen. Listen to me. Listen closely. There is not one single verse in all the Bible that says the gift's ended. No one. I mean, you just make it up. That's okay. You know, I just don't want it to happen. It's spooky. Fine. But the Bible didn't say it. They ended. They just don't say they ended. So, in fact, I can't stop there. Not only do they say they don't end, you have multitude of places. I mean, like 20 where they say they haven't ended. So, anyway, God bless my brothers and sisters that love Jesus and believe the gifts have ended, all right? It's just like taking a bath with no water. Okay, that's good. I love you. Okay? He said, so, this is a little ad lib to this verse, okay? But there's not one verse, not one verse, not one verse. So the whole, what does this mean? What does this whole mean for us and everything else? And this is what the Bible says. If we don't neglect Jesus, we don't have anything to worry about. That's what it's saying. You know, hey, if you can't wear such and such outfit because you'll have a better walk. We don't have that issue here, you know. But it is an issue in other places, you know, in churches. You can't have a walk with God and wear that outfit. Okay, now that's close to being demonic. Close to being demonic, okay? Because when you don't have to worry about anything and concern and have freedom, it's because you don't neglect Jesus. I mean, if somebody's wearing something that just looks terrible, say, you know, Jesus has a better style than what you're wearing. You know, he will never wear that. It doesn't look good on you. You see what I'm saying? It's just nuts. We don't neglect Jesus. And Jesus takes us where we want to go at the time he wants us to be there. And this is where we have a problem. And the people around us. And the people around us. All right. I would never wear that. You know? It's like that. Maybe you should. I don't know, but I got to tell you, this is funny. I'm just off base right now, but it's just hilarious because J. Vernon McGee, he said it. So it blamed J. Vernon McGee. And he said, and he's dead now and been dead for years, old-timey pastor from the 30s and 40s. And said, so a lady come up to him and said, is it a sin to wear makeup? He goes, darling, for you, it's a sin not to wear makeup. So, anyway, enough of that. We'll get there. So, if we don't neglect Jesus, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about anything. We just don't neglect Jesus. And then we have these verses like this. These are the ones we should be looking at. Okay? And it's humbling. Now, I'll close with this. Galatians 2:20. I'm not neglecting Jesus. I've been crucified. Have overhead here. I've been crucified with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just don't neglect Jesus. Didn't tell you to do anything. Just don't neglect Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this section. And Lord, I confess my silliness as I was looking at some of the very serious subject here. But Lord, we do thank you. And we do understand that you are God and that we are saved and that we are forgiven. And we thank you, dear God, for that. And we thank you that you present it so clearly in the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks of you, and we thank you for that. It speaks of you. So, God, we give you glory, and we praise you. And, Lord, work it within our hearts that everything that comes across our path, we just will not neglect you. We'll have our eyes fixed upon you. And we thank you that you saved us, and we give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.